Yeah, sure.
Nothing was going to keep the FC Cincy Beat podcast down. Come on. Come on, boys. Well, welcome everyone once again to the FC Cincy Beat podcast. Episode 1, Season 2. We are in Over the Rhine at Rhine House. Our gracious, gracious hosts. We're about to welcome in our very special guest. I want to encourage everyone to download the FC Cincinnati's Inquirer app. That's available in the App Store and in Google Play. It is a free download that includes all of our latest stories, multimedia podcasts, and that will include tonight's episode. So please download that. Check it out. It is great stuff. And again, thank you to Rhine House. Please imbibe while you're here tonight. That's why we choose Rhine House as our potting space. A quick story about Austin, as I was telling some of you before. I was a student at the Ohio State Student Newspaper in 2010. Ohio State was playing Louisville in a Sweet 16 NCAA tournament match. I asked the editor of the student newspaper, Zach Meisel, "Zach, are we covering this game tonight?" He looked at me like I was crazy, like I had a snake around my neck. And I took that as an opportunity. So I went down to Louisville, did the 7-hour round trip. For my trouble, I got a speeding ticket on the way back. My story from the game did not make it into the print newspaper that night. Ohio State lost, so my run of covering the team was over, even though I was a neutral observer. But I was fortunate to see Austin score a goal that night in what was a momentous run for Louisville. They would go on to compete in the College Cup that year. Isn't that correct? And it was at that moment that I knew that this man, Austin Berry, was destined for success in South Korea's K-League.
K-Challenge.
I'm kidding. Austin, I'm kidding, obviously. Austin obviously went on to great success in the MLS as a draftee. There was a ton of talent on the field that night in the Louisville Ohio State game, wasn't there?
Oh yeah.
A bunch of guys got drafted. We're so fortunate to have him here as soccer fans in Cincinnati, and we are thrilled to have him as the Season 2, Episode 1 guest. Please welcome Austin Berry to the pod. Austin. Let's get right into the questions. Austin, I know that there have been injury concerns for you throughout this spring. I spoke to head coach, manager, Alan Koch today. He's given you the green light to play. And I want to ask you, starting right off the top, how do you feel? And will we see you in Blurange? On Saturday.
In Blurange? Yeah. I should be in some Blurange this week. No, I felt good last weekend. Kind of took the whole
weekend. Can you hear?
Not sure what to do with my hands. See, some people got the joke. No, I felt good. I finally last weekend, kind of took the whole weekend off. Just shut myself in. And luckily it wasn't a bad one. So I should be ready to go Saturday. There you go.
Austin, the team is 1-2-0 through three games here in 2016. I also wanted to get from you your evaluation of the squad and the results to date. What is your evaluation of how FC Cincinnati has performed thus far?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I don't want to say a rough start to the season, but obviously, more losses than wins isn't good, but people still forget that we got a new head coach, a new coaching staff, kind of a new philosophy, a lot of new guys. So there's a learning curve and an adaptation process that comes with that. And we've been on the road for 3 weeks, and that's not counting the 18 days that we were gone for preseason. So I mean, that kind of all takes a toll, especially with the trip the guys had to take up to Bethlehem last week, which isn't close. So. No, it's good that we're finally going to be back home, and we obviously played fairly well in front of the home fans last year. Had a good record at home, so it'll be good. Good week, three good games in front of us.
Yeah. I want to take you back to a darker day
in FC Cincinnati's history. It was January 19th, if I recall correctly, and that afternoon, John Hartz left FC Cincinnati as the head coach. It was on the eve of the team's preseason trip to IMG Academy, a tough situation by any measure. And I imagine for yourself, because John brought you in here, it was probably a day of mixed emotions. How do you experience a day like that as a player?
I mean, it's tough, but out of my 6 years playing, I've had 4 coaching changes in the middle of the season, right at the end, and this one at the beginning. So you learn as part of the business as you go on. But, you know, secondly, you know, it was a little bit of a change because we all like John. John's a player's coach. He's a guy that we all got along with, and he's a guy who was calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning in South Korea all, you know, 2 years ago, all season, because he couldn't figure out the dang time change. So, you know, he's a guy that I, you know, really got to know and like, and, you know, I thank him for helping bring me back here. So, yeah, it sucks, but, you know, it's part of the job, part of the business, and we just got to move on and, you know, just get better every day.
Do you keep in touch with John?
Yeah, I talked to him. You know, talked to him every round now and then. I actually texted him last week because it was this time last year that we were at the Reds game. You know, we were all at the Reds game, throwing out the first pitch. So I sent him and Tino a little pick from that day. So nice little memory. But you know, we'll see what they do here in the near future because I'm sure they'll, you know, Tino's already started working with DC's Academy, and I'm sure Harksey will, you know, will find something just as well.
Absolutely.
There's so many new faces in the squad this year, and I think for a lot of people there's a disconnect between, for a lot of fans and Cincinnatians, the first 3 games being on the road. It almost feels like Saturday is, it is the home opener, but it almost feels like the season opener in some senses, and some of the casual fans will be orienting themselves with this kind of new look roster and all the new players come this weekend. What has been your experience watching the new players get acclimated to the scene here? Because it is FC Cincinnati. The fact of the matter is FC Cincinnati is not a small club. The expectations are quite big. And this could be, in theory, a stressful situation. But what's your evaluation of how the new guys have kind of come into all this?
Yeah, I mean, we've been fortunate to have a good group of new guys. They're all... you know, they're all really good people, cool to hang out with. We've done a lot more stuff off the field, especially with preseason. It was much longer this year, so we kind of, I think we got sick of each other at the end of it. But, you know, we had much more time to really bond on and off the field. You know, and then, you know, like you said, I'm sure there will be a little bit of a learning curve with some of the guys playing in front of a crowd like we have at home, just like it was last year for some guys coming in. Some, a few of us have played in front of crowds like that, and few of them won't. So, but you know, these are games that you want to play in front of. You don't want to, you know, you grow up thinking about playing in front of tens of thousands of fans and a really loud stadium. You know, you don't, it's, that's why it's hard for us sometimes on the road, because you know, you're playing in front of crowds like that, and then, you know, you're going to play in front of 500 or 1,000. So it's, you know, it's hard for us to create the own atmosphere. And the other difficult thing is we're looking forward to this opening day as much as the fans are. So it's a, you know, it's a real tough challenge to keep focused on the games ahead of us and not look 3 weeks ahead to the home opener and take care of business on the road.
You just alluded to this a little bit. There are disparities between the clubs. At the I'm really glad we're not broadcasting this live on Facebook. There are great disparities between the teams in the USL ranks. FC Cincinnati, like I just said, one of the bigger clubs, has bigger aspirations than most. You know, the USL or the US Open Cup draw yesterday, did you get a chance to see that?
I saw a tweet about it.
Was it my tweet?
Maybe.
doesn't bother. No, we're kidding. We're kidding. You know, there's a chance you guys could go and play your second round US Open Cup match in Des Moines, Iowa. It's not exactly a sexy fixture there. Have you really? Wait, let's backtrack. Tell us about the trip to Des Moines, Iowa. What the hell were you doing there?
God, well, it was regionals, right, Mama? Yeah, both
me and my sister. So, you know, tropical Des Moines in the middle of summer. That was fun. Was that where the Buffalo Farm was?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, for entertainment in between games, because you only play one game a day out there, we drove and saw buffaloes. So, yeah, there's Des Moines for you. And, yeah, we had a tornado. That's about it.
That's almost the full experience. What else is there to do in Des Moines, Iowa? Oh, my gosh. Well, like I was saying, getting back on track here, you know, you go to venues of so many different sizes. Is it almost an emotional letdown to go to some of these smaller cities and smaller venues where, you know, against, say, an MLS 2 team, you're playing against a couple hundred, you're playing in front of, I should say, a couple hundred fans against a rotating cast of players that may or may not have been the same as the last time you saw that team? How do you balance that emotionally?
I mean, you know, like I said, it's just, it all comes down to us and creating our own atmosphere out there. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's easy to get up and play when, you know, our fans are, you know, up in the Bailey or, you know, around the stadium, especially how loud it gets. It's really easy to do that. But, you know, it just comes down to us and being good professionals. But, you know, it also, you know, it's kind of nice as a on the back line to be able to talk. You know, sometimes in our home game, the first 15 minutes, you're using hand signals and, you know, third base coach stuff to try to get stuff across because you can't hear each other. So, I mean, that's part of the experience as well. But, you know, there's different positives and negatives to playing at home and playing away. But, you know, it just kind of comes down to us.
Yeah. Speaking of third base coach, what do you think of the Reds' start so far this year?
Oh my God. Did anyone see that coming? No. But yeah. I'm sure my dad's a little upset about getting rid of our tickets this year. Yeah. Thanks, Dad. But
welcome, by the way, to Mr. and Mrs. Berry. Can we give them a round of applause for joining us here this evening? Thank you for coming. We really appreciate it. Let's take a break with Austin, get a five-minute break, refresh our glasses, and we'll be back with more from FC Cincinnati's co-captain, Austin Berry.
Tell anyone and I will kill you in your sleep.
Yeah, he threw me.
No. No,
yeah.
This gets really hard to sell. We did the I mean, podcast is on to a background. But it's been an issue for our company. The first show we did here, I think we got in late at the same time. That's, I guess, because it was tonight for the half. So this place is when it's been crashed, technical difficulties ever since. So I'm still just doing that. This is the last time for me. I had a beggar to have you on for this, so this would be it. This is the death knell. Oh, yeah?
Are we digging up Colin first? Because he's still very much alive.
There it is. Do they have any kind of training table for you guys?
Bagels and granola and stuff like in the mornings, but we cut that.
Yeah.
Okay. We just talked to this guy from Wheaton.
Yeah.
He started to love anybody. He's still Hyper and some of the Memphis guys. Nutritionist for once, sometimes the meals last, we'd be having a taste of Belgium, which is delicious.
Yeah.
The same, but as an athlete, you shouldn't be crushing chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Alright. Alright, we're back. The FC Cincy podcast reconvenes. We are again joined by Austin Berry, co-captain of FC Cincinnati. One of the special preconditions for Austin joining us on the show tonight was Gomez. Gomez Tacos. We don't get many requests for our guests, but Austin wanted Gomez. And I said, I think we can do tacos.
That's not my fault.
I think we can do tacos. No, no, no.
If I change it for him, I gotta change it for everybody else.
That's right.
Precedent set.
The precedent set. So if you want to talk to Austin the rest of this year, you better pony up the Gomez. All right. A couple rapid fire questions for you, Austin, while your mouth is full of taco. First of all, I know that many of the players room together at an apartment complex in Oakley. Tell us, if you would, about your living situation as a local professional athlete.
I've come full circle. I'm back over in good old A-Town near the parents and grandparents, so that twice a week I can have a free meal and dump the dog off on her. But I got a nice little house over by them, so that's been fun. Comes with its challenges as well, as I'm sure any homeowner will know. New house stuff, but now it's nice out. I actually was almost late tonight because the girlfriend and my dogs decided to only play in the 10 yards of mud that are in my backyard. So I had about 30 minutes to leave, and I had dogs that were just doused in mud. So it's been fun having a backyard, let dogs play around. And I wasn't a big fan of living in the apartments with 30 other guys. So I'm a little bit old for that now.
So did you nix that right out of the gate, the apartment situation? Because I asked Jimmy, who did he room with, and were you in there at any point?
No, I nixed that on Hartsey's first call when I was South Korea. Yeah, I was in an apartment that was no bigger than the two bathrooms right here. So I wanted my own place and out of the city a little bit. So it was nice last year, just kind of relaxed. It's not a bad drive in and get to go back home to the burbs. Some people said I was a little bit too young for that, but I liked it.
If you had if Alan Koch came in here right now and said, Austin, you're eating tacos two nights out from our home opener, you're going to the apartment, son. If you had to pick your roommates on this team, and if you had, what do they do? Four to an apartment or three?
It's all split up.
All split up. Different agents can get different stuff for their guys, right? Okay. How about if you had to pick one player to be a roommate, who would it be and why?
I mean, it has to be in the apartments because, I can't move in back with the parents. Okay, yeah.
You could not bring the player back to your parents' place. No.
Darn it. Okay, option one gone. Can I choose another guy on the team that has a house and a second bedroom, or I gotta pick? I'd probably say I'd say Kenny and Corbin. Kenny and Corbin,
why?
Are my guys.
Why?
Kenny, because I spent 4.5 years at Louisville with them, and he followed me here, so I can't really get rid of him now. I might as well just enjoy his company. And me and Corbs were always roommates on the road, so just used to having him, used to having him around, like the same movies, same kind of stuff. So I'd go with those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no to Jimmy.
Jimmy?
No to Jimmy?
Love you, Jimmy. But, nah.
I understand Jimmy was supposed to be here tonight. Did he blow us both off or just me?
We'll go with both, but
Austin's very polite. The next rapid fire question for Austin. How much, because I'm sure you do, because they're so successful and you seem like someone who'd be a proud alum, how much do you keep up with the Summit Country Day boys soccer team?
Oh, God.
You just rolled your eyes. Why?
Because they're winning State Cup 39-0. Now, we could barely even get out of regionals. We lost to Madeira 3 years on PKs, and they're winning 4-5-0 in the state semis. They're winning 5-0 in the state finals. But no, new coach, all the guys are great. I mean, they've done a fantastic job. Bernard, after my coach left, really took that thing to a next level, and now Scott Sebring, who's there now, has taken it even further. I mean, they've done it's a great school academically, but they definitely they give you every tool to succeed athletically there. It is a small school, but they've done a fantastic job. And I throw it out to my neighbor down the street, Mike Fee, with a girls' soccer team who's winning state championships real easy as well. So they put a lot of pride in that soccer program there, and it's fun to still watch them today, but a little annoying that it looks like it's so easy for them. But, yeah, they're putting in a lot of work.
So what would your solution be then? Could they go up, down a division? Is that something you'd like to see happen? Because you're absolutely right. It's not fun when it's fun to win a title, but when the margin, the gulf in talent is as great as it is when Summit plays these teams they do up in Columbus, it's not really competitive. But what would you propose a solution there? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it's interesting to get an alumni's take on this.
I don't know. I was really looking forward to playing some other Division I teams when I was there, like St. X stopped scheduling Summit. Because we beat them a few times back when like the Shiris were there and some of one of the Cummings or something. But because I had a lot of buddies that weren't in the NBC or Division III, a lot of my buddies were playing at St. X and some other division, the Division I schools. So it would have been fun to play them. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it just like looks too easy and it kind of is, but it would be kind of cool to see how Summit's team would match up against some of the bigger schools out there.
And our last rapid fire question before we go to extra time word association. For those of us, I was serious earlier when I referenced that. What are the K Challenge League?
K Challenge.
Many of us in this room are not as well traveled as you are professionally. Tell us what it was the most and least fun aspect of working in South Korea.
There are so many positives, so I'm going to start with the least. And it's just a big culture change and how they kind of run businesses as well as their soccer programs over there. And kind of like what we do, they house all their players from all ages. I mean, there's guys that are 30 and they're all living in one dorm. They're all sleeping, they sleep on floor mats. And in the player dorms, they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They go to training, they go to the gym, everything's together, riding the bus. So I mean, you're working from 8 in the morning when you meet for breakfast, so sometimes we would leave 10 at night. You know, doing a gym session 10 to 12, then lunch, then video at 3, then you're going to training at 7, eating dinner, and then you're doing that again the next day. We had a little bit of a challenge to try to get our playing fields. They didn't have their own, Anyang didn't have their own playing field, so we were kind of all over the place when we were training, but another one of my coaching changes was there, middle of the year, a new guy came in and you know, kind of changed it to a set training time, in which I was able to start really enjoying myself. And my parents came out. I mean, it's such a fun country. They're so nice. It's so easy to get around. I think my mother is actually wearing a blouse, would you call that, from South Korea, the street market right now. So, Fawn, stand up. If you could do it. Can you do it? Can you spin around? Just, yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on. All right. That's all we're getting. She's not much for show. Yeah. But no, it's such a cool country to go out and eat in and to go out in. You know, I played a lot of like screen golf is big there. So it's a big country for expats. Like a lot of guys were over there tutoring English, teaching that. So I had a buddy in my city who he owned his own bar, like a foreigner's bar. So meet up with them, we play some golf, going to Seoul. Like it's a real cool country and like it's safe and friendly. Like I would go eat at different places every night and I'd get free stuff just because I'd walk in and not be Korean and I'd like just point at stuff. He's like, oh no, okay, service. That was the thing. So like everything, I didn't want to take advantage of it too much, but it's such a fun place to go out, and eat and experience it because they make you feel so welcome. Like you've been there all along. So it was hard to make the decision to come back. But I would say if it wasn't Cincinnati, then I'd still be over there.
Very interesting. And I have another very serious question to ask about living in South Korea. Now, you and I usually save our political topics for the other podcast that you and I do, Geopolitics, as discussed by Pat and Austin. That's also available in the App Store. What was it like living in the shadow of this North Korean regime? Is that something that you think about on a daily basis? You're laughing. I don't laugh about it, and I live in Cincinnati. Seriously, what was it like living in the shadow of this North Korean regime? I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about this.
I played a little prank on you when I was first. I actually connected from Philly to Cincinnati to LA before I flew out to Seoul, and she was a little worried about my mom. Sorry, I'm pointing at my mom. Like, people are listening to the podcast, like, oh, he's pointing at his mom. But
no one's listening to this, I promise.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For my parents who listen to this later. Mom, I'm pointing at you. We're sitting in, one of the airport restaurants. She's like, "Is it gonna be safe? Like, where do you go? Like, what do you do?" And it's like, "Well, Mom, I have an armed escort, like taking me everywhere. I'm gonna have a personal security guard." She just eyes were up. Like, "Mom, I'm kidding. Like, I'm sure I'll be fine." And then like a week after, actually, no, I'd say more of like. Just under a month after, sorry. You good?
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Oh gosh, really threw myself off there. Yeah. It's getting hot in here, isn't it? But just under a month of being over there was when two South Korean soldiers got injured by a mine that had been there since the previous war, and then South Korea was blaring propaganda over on loudspeakers, and North Korea shot those speakers. So, I'm in Team Meals, like, watching it, and I'm like, guys, like, Sungsu is my translator. They go, hey, Sungsu, Chinsu, like, another one player, it's like, are we worried about the guys up there? And they go, no, Barry, no, they all talk. Like, okay, but I still feel a little weird about that. It's definitely interesting, but I hope that doesn't deter anybody away from going over there. But especially now with the things going on, it's very interesting to follow. But they didn't seem worried about it, and after like being there for a couple months, them not even talking about it, I didn't even bother with it. So
I'm sure your payment arrangement with the South Korean Travel Bureau is safe. That was a ringing endorsement. All right, it is time for extra time. Word Association. We had a great time with this with Sean Acoli last year. Who was here for that? Anyone? None of you were. No one comes to these. God, I get paid to do this. All right. All right. So I'm going to, you know, this is very similar to other games you've probably played at some point in your life. I'm going to say a word or a phrase, Austin. I want you to say the first thing that comes into your mind, all right? All right? Okay. All right. Number one, a cheese coney. Discount thing. Okay. See, this is why we do this.
My mom's got my back.
Linda's got my back. Yeah. That's the same stumbling block Acoli tripped up on last year, except he almost got beaten on his way out of this bar. Next word or phrase. Chicago Fire.
Oh, gosh. I would say firefighter. Oh, no, that's terrible. I gotta explain a story behind it. Let me get the story. Because for 2 years, I had to explain to people in airports that I wasn't part of the Chicago Fire Department and I wasn't flying commercially to fight fires. And then the show came on, and it was even worse. Then they thought we were extras on the show, all in Chicago Fire gear in the airport. So at the end of it, I was like, yes, I'm part of the fire department. Yes.
Austin Berry, co-captain of FC Cincinnati and Chicago Fire Department firefighter. Next word. Philadelphia Union.
Injury.
Injury. Injuries. All right, let's move right along. Ken Lola.
Oh, Ken. Go on. If anybody from Louisville is watching the podcast, they'll understand that. But nobody is, so I'll just sit here like an idiot, and I'm going to eat some gum myself.
Good call. All right. Next up, John Harks.
Charismatic.
Good word. Charismatic for John Harks. Nippert Stadium.
The team will want me to say is Fortress. Yeah.
Fortress.
Isn't that the song in this
show? Yeah, I think I've heard that a few times. Rival of Summit Country Day School, the phrase is Cincinnati Country Day.
Vomit.
Vomit. And lastly, Jeff Birding.
The man.
The man, really? Why do you say that?
He's doing it all. I mean, look what he's created in 2 years, or not even 2 years. Guy does it all, front office down to us, and it's fun to have a GM who's involved as much as he is, as well as an ownership group that guys can see every day.
Before I let you go, I have to actually, guys, can we close the front door and lock it up? Tell us right now where the stadium's going to be.
The what? Yeah, you guys know more than I do.
I'm kidding. Let's take a break. We'll come back, do some audience Q&A with Austin. All right, we're back for the final segment of Season 2, Episode 1, FC Cincy Podcast. Fantastic crowd tonight, 90% of which is not here for this show in any way, shape, or form. We thank you for being here and listening anyway. As Austin chows on his Gomez salsa, which he was contractually obligated to receive as part of his appearance tonight, we'd like to invite audience members from anywhere in the bar to, I shouldn't say that. Austin, a quick story. We did a Q&A with Sean Acoli, and let's just say it went off the rails. Yeah, he handled it beautifully, but Boy, you open things up to some of these nutcases that get here at Ryan House. But let's open it up to the audience, your supporters. Do we have any questions?
Got one.
Introduce yourself quickly, and without taking too much of my airtime, spit out your question.
Hi, guys. I'm Tom. I'm Tom. I live in Mount Lookout, and my question is not to discredit your performance in the earlier matches, but what does it mean opening day coming up on Saturday, playing in Nippert again? What sort of your mindset? Are you guys pumped to be back in front of your home crowd, or are you expecting it to be different from the other games that you played on the road in smaller stadiums?
Yeah, no, I expect it to be a lot different. I mean, it's, like I said, it's going to be easy to get up for this game. All the guys are excited. Guys that were here last year, we know what to expect. The new guys, they've seen it on, YouTube and videos. So, they're itching to get in front of that crowd, because a lot of them haven't played in front of that. So, no, it's going to be, we're kind of just all itching to get there. It was the same last year. We had those two games on the road and with the front air, I had it, that commemorative book that we had that came out this year. So Fumi, we all had to write, everyone had their own little piece. She's like, can you write about opening day? And I was like, yeah, Jack thought I'll write about opening day. And I wrote about the Charlotte game. She's like, no, we mean your actual opening day, which was at Charlotte. So, around Cincy, you think of opening day as your first home game. We're all, my family, we're big Reds fans. I mean, this was probably the first year that I haven't made an opening day in a long time. This is, for me, it's very special. I'm sure Banner is really special to play back in Cincy first time, but for everyone, those are the most fun times that we had last year. We're playing in front of our home crowd.
Beautiful. Great question. Even better answer. Austin munches away here. Any other questions from the audience? I got tons. About Nikki? Nikki's her name?
Yeah.
Nah, we won't bring her up. I'll ask about her though.
Okay.
Austin's girlfriend. What did you guys do for Valentine's Day? I hope you did something.
I mean, I really hit the jackpot because Nikki's sister's birthday is actually on Valentine's Day, so I get a free dinner. And we saw it. Yeah, exactly. At El Coyote, my favorite restaurant. I think it's all still a setup. My parents are paying her and her family a large fee. Because there's no way that should have worked out.
Yeah.
That I have a girlfriend that will have a sister's birthday on Valentine's Day. So I can X that day out of the way. Just, buy a couple of flowers and I'm good. So.
Yeah, go play.
Very good. I'm glad I asked. Any other questions? Before we let Austin go, we have one from Chris of the Pride. I was going to say one of our loyal listeners. Chris is our loyal listener. Singular. Chris, take it away.
Hey, Austin. Just wanted to know, what is the biggest difference between playing under Alan Koch than John Hart's last year?
Yeah, I'm sure you guys all met Harksy. He's a fun guy to be around. He jokes around.
Yeah.
Maybe jokes around too much, as you've probably seen. You had him here in here, right? Yeah. So, I would just say, they're a little similar, kind of. But I would say the biggest thing is how much, how light Harksy kept it. And like I said, it might have been too light. So Alan's come in. He's still done a good job of keeping it light. But it's a little more focused out in the field sometimes. They both have their ways. It's not like Harksy was a bad coach. We did well last year. So they both, every coach will be different. But I would say the biggest thing is just, Harksy's a fun guy to be around on and off the field. Yeah.
That was not a fun guy.
Huh?
Koch isn't a fun guy.
No, yeah. We're still just, because he's the new coach. So, he comes around and you tighten up, walk around. So, But everyone's starting to loosen up a little bit with him around, and especially with the home game coming, you know, get a couple wins and everybody's excited to be around everybody. So everyone's just, we're all, you know, he's still trying to get used to us as well, as much as we're still trying to get used to him. So, yeah.
All right, we have time for one more question before we let Austin go tonight. Any takers? Oh, Mr. Oh. For everyone that couldn't see that, Mr. Barry, Austin's dad, got. Mr. Barry got up and he juked me. He faked like he was going to ask a question, but we do have a friend / family member question. Please introduce yourself and spit out your question.
Hi, I'm Natalie Newton. Austin, I'd like to know where you first met Nikki.
Right in front of this table was the first time we met. So,
for everyone who won't be able to see this, which is everyone, we're pretty much our table here. It's the best setup we've had, and we're still basically seated in the bathroom area and here in the back of Ryan House. Well, Austin, go on.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned the proximity to the bathroom right now, because the story begins by me walking to the bathroom and having good old Big Cat Omar Cummings from our team 30 seconds before meeting Nikki shove my face into the Ryan House bathroom wall as I was trying to go to the bathroom, and then come out and proceed to introduce me into my future girlfriend. Yes. And then it proceeded from there, as I know what Natalie really wants me to say is, as we're going through, we have some mutual friends who were supposed to set us up beginning of the year, blah, 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 blah. And I, in a state, said, I know who you are. And it looked a little creepy from the outside, but she took to it. I don't know how, but here we are. 5 months later? Five-ish. Yeah, ish is perfect. Five-ish. So...
I love you, Nikki.
Oh, yes.
Oh, beautiful. Young love.
Oh.
Thank God we don't pick up the ambient audio from now. Well, we're going to cut Austin loose here. Right now, I'd like to ask everyone listening, all five of you, to raise a glass. Austin, we wish you continued good health this season. We wish you Godspeed on the field. We wish you titles, championships, and medals in the season to come. Wait, you don't get medals?
No, we don't get medals or ribbons.
Get off my back, man. Good luck in 2017, Austin. We're wishing you the best. Austin Barry, everyone. That will conclude episode 1, season 2 of the FC Cincy Beat podcast. Again, you can catch that on the Inquirer Sports FC Cincinnati app that's available. It's a free download in the Apple App Store and in Google Play. We are so, so thankful for our gracious hosts here at Ryan House and OTR. Thank you for having us yet again. And everyone get home safely. We'll see you at Nippert Stadium on Saturday night. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much for all the punches.
That was fun.
Austin, thanks. I appreciate it.